It's time to blow this scene. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Boom, what's up?
Hey, I'm so happy to see you.
Lauren, Malara. How's it going?
Oh, you know, just slowly making my way out of the house.
I didn't get an official introduction. Welcome back, goddammit, to another edition of Tell Me a Joke, the Guideline to Chasing a Dream. I am the host of the Maniacal Menace, Kyle Smith. Say the whole thing like a pimp named Stick Back. And today we have the lovely, the talented, New Orleans, best in the city stand-up comedian.
That happened in like 2016. When y'all let that go?
Lauren Malara. Oh, so good. Everybody was like, who the fuck? When did this competition happen? And how did she get claimed that? That's not fair.
Yeah, I agree.
People get accolades though. You know, gotta run with it.
Mm-hmm.
How have you been though?
Oh, good. Just finished my first year of grad school. That's what I decided to do during the pandemic.
That's why you be so busy?
I guess I'm writing a screenplay.
Oh shit! Mm-hmm. Do you want to tell what it's about?
It's a comedy based on, you know, my personal life, like a woman from New Orleans whose dad is a famous jazz musician, so she's like living in that shadow.
Oh, that's New Orleans, right?
Yeah.
There. Yeah. Yeah. You teach children at NOCA.
I do.
I had one of your children on my podcast, Audrey.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
She's actually gone to a comedy school.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's down here?
No, she's going to my alma mater, DePaul University. They have a comedy studies program there now. I know, so I'm like, Audrey, will you keep the curriculum for me and email me?
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm, very proud.
Oh, that is really good. So how long have you been teaching this comedy? Like, is that exactly what you teach at NOCA?
Yeah, I do. My program is called Comedy Studies, and so I primarily teach them improv. In the first 2 years, in the third year, we do sketch, and then in the fourth year, we do stand up because the seniors are always in and out of town with college stuff, so it's better to do solo.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And Audrey is really good. Like, we taught her at a summer camp,
mm-hmm.
and it was a comedy summer camp, which was wild to me. Me and Kamari, we both taught them during this this 1 week camp that they had. It was fun, and that's how I know her, and that's that's how I saw the potential of where she's gonna go, because she is really good at a young age. And I was like, oh, wait till you get into these bars, because your writing is impeccable.
So. Also, she's just like gonna have ears on everybody. She came to me when she was 12. I told her that. Right.
I let her know. I was like, hey, people gonna get mad at you because they're thinking that you just starting out once you get to these certain places. Like, once you start going to the bars, people mm-hmm. thinking that you like, oh, look at this little young girl that's trying to do comedy for the first time, and she come up there and smashes it.
Right.
She's like, oh no, she's been in the game for like 4 or 5 years already.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
The youth. Like, Miss Malara, can I come to your show? I was like, absolutely not.
Absolutely
I do not.
Not. You cannot be in there because there's creepos, and this is New Orleans. People are drunk. We don't understand that. We don't understand that. Hey, this is a child, and you know what? She probably shouldn't be in this bar. But they had certain bars that they can go into and actually practice their comedy while we were teaching them and shit. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, that was a really good thing. I mean, but it was still a bar.
Right.
But they allowed them to come in.
Mm-hmm.
But they also kept up the persona of, like, we're still a bar, so bar patrons and drunk motherfuckers came in while these kids were on the mic. Yes, the parents were there. Yes. Because, oh boy, this drunk man came in and started heckling. I swear one of the guys on the stage was going to piss his pants. I was like, oh, this is what you have to deal with. Sorry. You know, we thought it would be more of a humbling bar, but nah, it's just... still a bar in New Orleans.
Right.
So get your chops about you, young man. Fun time. How long have you been doing comedy for?
Let's see. I did my first comedy show in 2011.
Oh. Okay.
Okay.
But it was a sketch comedy show because I have a degree in acting, and so I got hired as like an understudy for the sketch show. And God, I remember the first time I got to go on and people were laughing. I was like, what is this?
Y'all could.
It felt so different. I had been on stage so much, but people were not laughing, you know?
And when they can laugh at something that you came up with, that makes you feel amazing.
Yeah.
Ah, that's good. Yeah. So 9 years, that would be 2011? 9 years, or 10 years. No, 2011 to 2021.
That's
10
years.
That's 10 years.
But I just started stand-up in like 2016.
Oh. Oh, okay, so you still, all right, that's still a good amount of years, though. You still, what was your thing as a child? Was this your path you thought you were going to take when you were getting older?
I mean, I knew that I enjoyed being on stage, but I went to NOCA, I went to the school that I teach at, and I studied acting there, but we never did comedy. And so I just never was exposed to that until I went to Chicago. It was like, I had gone to NOCA for 4 years, I had an acting degree, and then 2 years out of college, it was like, comedy is also a thing. So that's when I was like, oh, this is it. This is what I was supposed to be doing the whole time. And I just never had a chance. Nobody ever told me about it.
Oh, so in 2016, is that when it clicked for you?
Yes, for sure.
What made it click?
I did that show, and then I was like, I have to learn about this as much as possible, so I went to Second City and trained there. And that's when I started working professionally as an actor. Like, I was kind of scraping by gigs before then, but I just started getting booked for stuff. I quit my waitressing job a few years after that, and here we are.
When did the cruise come in?
Oh, Lord. let's see, I was working on a cruise ship for Second City Theatricals. I lived on that ship for 8 months. I think it was like 2016. Like, yeah. Or no, 2015.
Oh, God.
Yeah. 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 It was, wow. Do you know about ship life?
No. I mean, I've been on a cruise before, but not for consecutively for some 8 months. Not saying that you were on it for 8 months completely, but like, I gotta go back to this ship because this is my job. For 8 months? That's a gig for real.
It was.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was. I had goals in mind. I was, paid off my student loans.
I bet. That's what's up.
Yeah, it was really good that I had like an end goal in mind, but I messed up because I was able to pay them off 3 weeks before my contract ended. And then that last 3 weeks, I was just like, what am I doing here?
What?
I want to quit right now. Yeah.
Oh, so what did you? Well, okay. So, that is amazing. So after the 8 months, so did you? How many sets a night was it?
So we were doing sketch comedy shows. So we would do actually only 3 shows a week.
3 shows a week?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what are you doing the rest of the week?
See, I kind of wish that I was doing more shows because I had asked my dad at the time. I said I could, do the one that's 3 shows a week or the one that's like 10 shows a week, but the pay isn't that different. And he said, well, think about how much you're getting paid per show and do it like that. But when you're in the middle of the ocean, I think it's better to be busy.
Yeah.
So I wish I would have done the one that was more shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are you on the boat the entire time?
The entire time.
Only 3 shows a week.
Yeah.
Oh.
There's only so much like reading and P90X you can do.
Yeah, I might as well be doing these shows, and especially if I'm writing some new shit.
Right.
Boom, I'm going to tell some new shit and I'm getting paid regardless.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds amazing. Is that like still a thing?
I'm not right now to my knowledge. Second City was just recently sold and their contract ended with a cruise ship like a few years before that happened. So I don't know if they're going to restart or, a lot of theaters closed in Chicago when race stuff started. Like, it was just like, IO just closed down. A lot of them just closed.
Ah, shit.
Right. Race stuff took it there.
God damn it. That sounds amazing, though. That sounds like a very fun time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did you stick with the same set the entire time?
Yeah, it was sketches, so we had a director, so things were, picked for us to perform, and then we had we did an improv show one night, and that was like a fun show because there was a lot of flexibility in that show, and it was late night and adult content, so that was one of the fun things.
I keep assuming that you did stand up there, but you did improv.
And sketch, yeah.
Improv and sketch.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so did the audience, and so was it like audience feedback, or this is what y'all are sticking with?
For the sketch show, it's pretty much like, you know, we had our sketches and that's just what we did. And, you know, when people pay to see comedy shows, they want to have a good time. You know, you're on a cruise ship, you paid to be there, it's just the entertainment. Like, it was just like, you know, a home run every night. Because people were just like so happy to have something to do. And the other entertainment was like dance numbers and things like dance. That. You know, so, or they had a music.
Something to watch.
Yeah, so it's just like something different for them, and they really enjoyed it.
Wow, that is okay, because that's good. I've always thought about, I've never sat down and watched like comedy on a cruise ship. But the two times that I was on, I was young, so I don't know if they actually had comedy on there, because it wasn't something that I was looking for. Comedy didn't really come into my radar until I was older, and even like. In school, I should have been the person that was going to be a comic. Like, it's, like it didn't click with me until somebody told me, hey, you ever thought about stand-up? And I was like, oh, my God, I never thought about stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
Until I got on stage and started doing comedy. And I was like, oh, okay, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And that happened 9 years ago. This is it moment. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. That happened 9 years ago. And it feels good now that, like, I can say that I'm this person because... This is what I'm supposed to do. Like, I was very confused on where I'm supposed to go or like what's my direction as I'm getting older. You know, because I'm thinking that everybody in my family is part of the military. I should go into the military. But then I'm like, that doesn't fit my personality. I still don't feel as if I am doing what I'm supposed to do in this world until I found this. And then I was like, oh. I want to do this more. Like, being in Texas now, it makes it more difficult for me to get in this mindset of how I feel right now to where I want to continue doing this more, because I don't get to run into the same energy out there.
Yeah.
Everything's spaced out. So to be able to talk to everybody down here now, it's like, oh, this brings me back to that mode again, to where it's like, oh, the wheels are turning, and here comes the creative energy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I fucking miss that.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't move back yet.
Why not?
I'm not ready.
Okay, that's a good reason. Say
less. Yeah. I'm definitely not ready for that yet, because things are good out there. I want to see where things go out there, to where, and I definitely want to come back. When I move back, I want to be able to buy property. Like, I want to have properties where I can come back and Beyonce that shit. Just be like, boom, I'm going to live here for a few months, do some shit, and then go to my next house somewhere else. Mm-hmm. That's what I want out of this living. I want to be able to be comfortable wherever I go and still be able to spread my art around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I don't consider myself just a comic. I consider myself an artist now, because I do more than just comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And when people see me, depending on if they know me through poems or through comedy, they all know that, oh, that's Kyle, that's what he does. And I'm wanting that to happen. I'm kind of anxious for that. For people to come and be like, hey, man, you that poet.
Mm-hmm.
And then they see, like, oh, bitch, you do comedy too? Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know that. I want that effect. But, you know, at this point in time, it's just like, hey, just keep grinding. Keep doing what you're doing.
You gotta remember, Texas is big.
Yeah,
like, the way you get people recognize you, one, it's not gonna be the same as in Texas.
No. Yeah, it's going to take a lot longer, and I get that, but I also don't want to have to deal with the, like, me and AJ was just talking about the politics of things. Like, I don't want to hop into the politics of what they got going on out there, because, I mean, it's different everywhere, but it's just like, ah, fuck. Like, once you get in-depth about the scene, and then you start hearing all of the outside stuff, it's like, can we just go back to telling jokes? Like, can we do that now? This motherfucker can't come because he's like this. Like, he crazy, so he can't be here, but I like him. Like, we chill together, so now I'll be ostracized. Who should I not talk to, you know? Like, I don't, yeah. I go out there asking myself that a lot, like, because I run into other people that I'm chill, that I'm cool with. They'd be like, hey, man, don't talk to that person, man. That person's a such and such. It's like, I didn't know. He was cool to me. Like, what do we... So it's like, now I gotta navigate the scene that way, because I'm in the scene more. So it's just like, oh, who's gonna be detrimental for me to hang out with? Like, I want to hang out with everybody. I want to be cool with everybody. But if me being with this person is going to block me from going over here, like, should I not hang out with that person?
Well, I mean, let's just say, for instance, there was someone who was accused of date raping many women. Not only is it not good for you, but it's not good for everybody.
No, right? And that's what I don't know.
Yeah.
That's what I want to know about. I'm like, all right, so what is this person accused of? So, just so I can be like, oh, okay, let me distance myself. Because mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm just being friends with everybody. And mm-hmm. basically, if I don't know, other people are going to come in. But are you coming in as a hater? Are you telling me some false? Are you telling me some false accusations? Or are you just saying this to be like, hey, looking out for your well-being? I'm not sure yet until I hear from other people.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's just like, all right, I'll just lay low then.
I feel like there's a lot of things, like reasons people could not like one another, but I personally just have some hard lines, like, you know, safety for women.
Yeah.
I do not tolerate racism. Mm-hmm. I do not tolerate homophobia. I just have some hard lines around some things where it's like, I don't even need an explanation on this thing.
There's been a lot of that out there.
Yeah.
So it's just people blatantly coming on and being racist on stage. And I'm like, damn, what are we doing? Why is this a thing? Are you trying to be a shock comic?
Well,
like, I don't get it.
Like, your mama calling?
That is my mother calling. Yeah.
I do
have to silence her right now. She calls during the wrong times. It's always during the wrong times. Like, Ma, why now? What you doing right now to where you calling me right now? Like, text me. You can't text me? Yeah, but I did not see her today. But I'll call her after. I'm pretty sure my time on stage is coming close anyway. But this has been good. How you feel?
I feel good.
You feel good?
How do you feel?
I feel great.
Okay.
Were you going to leave after my set?
No, if you
want to
pause and keep going, we can.
Hell yeah.
Yeah,
we can do that.
I need to see your side.
Okay.
Okay,
good.
We'll be right back, y'all.
We'll be back, you guys.
What up, folks? We got ads. Today's episode is brought to you by HelloFresh. Do you feel like you are stuck in a dinner rut? With HelloFresh, you get fresh, pre-measured ingredients with mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. Skip all those trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. You can now enjoy cooking and get dinner on the table in 30 minutes or less. With over 25 recipes to choose from each week, there is something for everyone to enjoy. All recipes are designed and tested by professional chefs and nutritional experts to ensure deliciousness and simplicity. Now, if you ain't never had HelloFresh, you need to check it out. Because I've checked some things out, and man, this crispy buffalo spice chicken with blue cheese sauce, scallion mashed potatoes, and roasted carrots. Come on, who wouldn't want that? Look, Gouda Vibe Burgers. Gouda Vibes Burgers. Okay? With tomato onion jam and potato wedges. I don't know about the onion jam, but the potato wedges? Gouda? I love me some Gouda. Go to the link in our show notes to get $80 off, including free shipping on HelloFresh, the number one meal kit. HelloFresh.
We did it. Yay. Valissimo.
Huh? You tried a new joke? What happened?
I did. It went well.
Good.
It went well. It's my Ouya joke. We don't do the Ouyas anymore.
Ouya. Them, those things.
I know, right? It don't do it no more. It's like we should serenade our women with the who yeah, baby. Again, I forgot to add the baby, but it was good. I was very scared to do that because I've never just like tried to harmonize on a mic doing comedy.
Yeah.
It's weird. But fun. New jokes are fun to do. I haven't had the time in Texas to get that out. So, you know, I don't know how it would be received either. You know, you don't really get just an audience of randos, you know. Usually you get just comics, and this is like, I waited an hour 45 minutes to go ahead and tell this to a bunch of comics. All right, it's fine. I see how y'all received it, but how will real people receive it? You know, so that's always a thing to look at. But you know, it was fun. It felt good. How'd you feel? How'd you feel up there?
Oh, just like what am I doing?
Oh, really? Being in it, after being in it, it's just like, why? That's always the question to ask when it's happening. It's like, damn it, why do I do this? I do this every day. I do this every day for what reason? Where is it going?
I think it's killing it. It feels so good.
killing it feels amazing.
Really easy to forget that feeling
when you're high. Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't take much. It doesn't take much to snap you out of that high real quick and like, bitch, you still normal. And it's like, oh wait, hold on, I have feelings. Like what, why is this? But I enjoy that rush of like not knowing until it happens.
Yeah.
I think that's what keeps us coming back. Like, you don't really understand in your head, it sounds amazing. But when you actually put it to the stage, out the mic, and it's like, this didn't go how I planned in my head at all.
Yeah, it's like, because you don't know if it's funny until you tell it to a room full of strangers and they laugh.
Right.
And that's the first time you do that, it feels real good.
Yeah. And that's one of the moments I actually got to get tonight. That's good that we're good to mention. I got to get that in tonight because like I opened with something that I knew was gonna bring people to my level, and then I went in with different. I tried to segue into just being more calmer because I'm usually high energy, so it's like bring it down a little bit and then go here and then talk about this and see how that goes, because I had a new bit that was in an older bit, so just like let's try to work that out and see how that works, because and at the end of this month I have a gig at the House of Blues.
Ooh,
in Texas.
Okay,
yes. Right. I will be doing this with Terry Hodges and Coco Brown from the Tyler Perry show.
Yeah.
And Tony Tone. Yeah.
Hey,
come on now.
That's my friend.
Yeah. Hey, okay.
I'm talking about you. You my friend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, thank you. I didn't know. Because these other people were very established. And I'm like, but they're the old school comic view type of comics. And I'm like, oh shit, I'm not old school comic view. Like I'm not even in this scene down here. I wouldn't even be considered like the urban comics, because the urban comics look at me as like, you coming from the white scene, huh? It's like, well, I mean, I come to do comedy. I didn't know comedy had a color to it, but apparently it does. It has segregations down here, and so I'm very kind of like wishy-washy on how this show might go at the end of the month.
If you do what you did last week, we're going to knock it out the park. Like 2, 4, 6. Give me a 2-pack. I was dying.
Yeah, that gets everybody on my... Yeah, I've been using that. But see, it comes to the point where it's like, all right, is this opener too good now? Do I need to change this? So we need to go into something, but it's been working. So it's just like, why change it now when it's been working? And I have it in my head to where it's just like, all right, bitch, you did good. All right, that one's good now. Go on to something else and find a new one. And it's like, why do I always keep with that mentality?
I think I feel that way pretty often. But for me, it's like I need goals to keep myself motivated to generate new content. Like right before the pandemic, Laura and I were doing this show called Killing It. You had to write 15 new minutes every month.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, that's the kind of thing that'll keep me motivated to just write. Like, if I sign up for a race, I'll run, but I will not just run for exercise without a result in mind.
Yeah. I need to have some type of reward after doing this for having to do it. Yeah, I have so many things that I've written down, like today when I was kind of frantic because I didn't know what I was going to do. And I was like, I don't want to do, like, I'm here. I have the opportunity to feel good about doing something new. Like, I don't know what new to do. So I was just like, all right. Yeah. Yeah.
I love it.
Okay, I'm good. See, I'm glad I got this feedback, because in my head, I'm like, nigga, that's stupid. Don't tell people that. But I did. I actually did. It's the whole bit is me. I missed my exit doing that. Like, I was driving, and I missed my exit, like, 3 times, literally. Oh, 3 times. Just, yeah, baby. And then, fuck it, I would have my eyes closed. I'm like, fuck, that was my exit. Yeah. Shit. And then I have to fucking wait another 20 minutes to turn around, and it just kept happening. So I'm like, huh. And in the shower, I would always practice it because that's when it sounds the best.
I mean, you sound pretty good right now. So I'm like, are you a singer too?
Yeah, come on. No, that's it. That's just those notes right there. I was able to harmonize.
Just those notes.
Yeah, that's it. Everything else, I can't. No, if words come into play, yeah, it's gonna fuck everything up. So I just leave it to that right there, and it's like, maybe I can use this as a funny little bit. And it fucking worked. I'm like, oh, this feels good. So I'll try to expand on it more, because it ends with, you know, serenading women and giving them a pit bull puppy. Because back in the 90s, that was the thing.
Okay.
You used to give people a pit bull puppy, and when y'all got mad at each other, you're like, I'm sorry, baby, look at this puppy.
You're like, why my old man haven't given me a puppy yet? What am I doing?
Yeah. I think at the end of a Sierra video, she got a pit bull puppy. I'm pretty sure Bow Wow brought her a pit bull puppy as well. At some point in time, it's like, man, what's going on? I don't know. I just reminisce with the 90s a lot. And what is your era? What is your favorite era?
I guess the 90s. I was just thinking about the other day. I remember I was in summer camp and Biggie Smalls released his first single. Summer camp was lit that day. Like, everybody came to school like, did you hear this?
Did you? Oh, come on.
Yeah, it was just such a great time for music, you know?
Yeah, back at that, especially back at that time.
Right.
Back in that era, nobody gave a shit. It was just like, man, this motherfucker got some good music. Instead of what it is now, where it's just like, hey, man, you heard that beat that nigga is talking on? The motherfucker? I don't know what the hell is going on with some music now. But
I will say, like, I just recently discovered I'm a Migos fan. I had no idea.
Migos fan?
Somebody,
Culture 3 got you? Is that what happened?
Somebody just started listening to all their hits. And I was like, I like all the songs you're listening.
But they all sound the same.
I like them all.
You like, okay. But you never listened to them before. So this is a reason to be like, oh, because no, they'll get you.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get you on their side. And then it's like a bag of chips that you can't, like a bag of salt and vinegar chips that you can open it and you can eat half the bag, but then be like, oh man, I can't keep doing this, and you can't finish the bag because it's like, this is too much. They definitely have hits, but that last hit sound like this hit, and this hit sound like that hit, and it's like, oh, y'all still doing the same shit. I mean, but they got some fire stuff. They got some real good stuff, but it's just like, all right, one of y'all ain't talking about shit. The other one, all right, you nice. Then it just, there's a rabbit hole that I can go down, but I haven't really got into them too much, just because, like, everything's very repetitive.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've read some shit, and it's just like, oh, okay, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I get it, but, hey, make your money. Do your thing.
Who are you listening to right now?
Oh, man, right now? Who am I listening to right now? Toby, I was on his radar for
a minute. Oh my gosh, I love him. He's Chicago.
Dope, Texas.
Oh.
Yeah, he's Texas.
Okay.
Toby McGuigwe. Oh, okay. I was on him before he blew up, and now that he blew up, it's just like, oh shit, all right. So it's a weird dynamic, because anytime other people start hopping on a bandwagon to somebody else,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, it's getting crowded, and I hop off. I'm like, yo, go ahead and like him now. Like, it's gotten too saturated with other people. Like, man, you heard this nigga? I'm like, I've been heard that nigga.
I'm kind of the opposite, where it's like, people will vouch for things, and it's not until they've been vouched for years, and I'm like, oh, let me give this a chance.
Oh, like Tiger King and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you watched Tiger King?
No, but you saying that makes me think I should.
Nah, I gave it the, like, 4 or 5 episodes, and I'm like, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I get where it's going from here, and I don't want no more.
Yeah.
I'm all right on it. Yeah. That's life in society now, especially social society.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, oh, y'all on this yet? And it's like, well, if I am on it, will I get talked about for not being on it?
Mm.
And yeah, you will. So it's just like, you know what? I'm going to just stay over here and not talk to y'all at all. Yeah, I prefer to dodge things that way.
Mm-hmm.
Things. It's crazy how everybody decides to, like, oh, since this is what everybody does, like TikTok and everything. Like, you have a TikTok?
I am as old as you can be to be a millennial. So yeah. I creep from the shadows.
Uh-huh.
I watch it and I never post.
Yeah, okay.
I love TikTok.
Yeah.
I love it.
this face that you
gave. You know what they're doing? Gave. They're doing sketches on there.
They're doing a lot on there.
And, well, yeah, I mean, besides from the dancing and that kind of content that they're putting out, like, a lot of people are putting out comedic content, and it's good for me to have a kind of pulse on what's going on, so when I go tell the kids at Noka, like, oh, this trend on TikTok is actually a blackout sketch. Make me one of those.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have, like, I noticed because my partner, whatever, what's that?
I think it's what y'all feel comfortable with.
I guess. Yeah, she don't, say. So it's just like, all right.
Yeah. Well, but, now it's official. You
but, yeah, but she's like, she uses it as information piece. Like, everything is very informative. She finds things that are informative, like things that I've never known that people just get on there and explain thoroughly with, like, bullet points, and I'm like, oh shit, like, so it's more than just dances and following this trend. It's also like, this is a quick information highway. Like, you want to find out some shit within the time limit of, like, whatever your attention span it has. I'm assuming that's what they're doing on TikTok, like just keeping it quick just so you can move on to the next thing, because you get so much information like that, especially if it's coming from multiple people, is on one subject, everybody has a different take on it, and it's just like, oh motherfucker, you can really start a revolution that way.
Yeah, I mean, my TikTok is not that knowledgeable, because they just show you random videos based on what you watch all the way through.
Yeah.
So mine is just ignorant trash.
Yeah.
And, like, people dancing outside.
Yeah, I've seen the dark side. I listen to a lot of your mom's house, where Student P has a very dark, dark TikTok, to where it's just like slow people, special people, people that don't really know boundaries or emotional feelings. Is that a word to say? Can you say emotional feel? They can't take in, you know, autistic people, basically. And it's like, oh shit. Oh, because you can have this platform as well. Like, why wouldn't you be able to? And so no one tells them any different on, hey, this is what you have up here is strange, and people can look at this a different way. Because, like, the things that she shows sometimes, it's like people that are, like, having relationship problems, so they come out and say, hey, man, I'm looking for such and such, man. You fuck my old lady. Like, why? And it's like, what? This is not the platform for that, sir. Like, you ain't going to find her that way. You're just going to find a whole bunch of hateful people. And it's like, aha, your old lady got smashed. But some and so it's just, like, the dark realms of it and the positive sides of it. And I just stay away from it all.
I'm not super active on social media, but TikTok is one that I will really just thoroughly enjoy.
I know that if I get on it, it's something that I can get lost into. It's something that I used to get lost into, and it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much, on, especially on TikTok, because I fell into a few things. Have you seen my happy dog? Oh my god. Oh, it's a happy dog, and this guy's going upstairs, and he's like, I'm just a happy happy dog. I'm just happy. And it's a dog that's just so goddamn happy. And it's the cutest dog ever. And I'm like, oh, and you just gonna show me more photos like and more videos like this? I would get stuck for hours just watching this dog jump around being happy.
Right.
But I'm like, no, I can't do that, because now I'm not gonna be productive. I'm gonna lose hours of watching 1 minute videos, and then I'm gonna think to myself after that, like, you just lost half of your life, Kyle.
And you don't have a dog.
I don't have a dog.
Right.
I don't have one at all. Oh, makes me feel sad.
What do you? I mean, get a dog.
I can.
Why?
I might.
It's not really. I was scared to get one, and then I got one, and it's really not everything. I
did have one at one point, and then I had to give away because, you know, I started moving around and stuff.
Well, that's a thing.
That was hard. And it was like, oh, because you have a bad, happy dog. but yeah, that's really funny. All right, so, what member of the Proud family would you say you would like to be?
I'm not super familiar with the Proud family.
God damn it, I was hoping that you would have been. I would just been like, okay.
I'm gonna say Penny Proud, because that's the only one I know.
That's fine, that works. That works. I'm not really sure how knowledgeable you are with Batman and the Jokers.
Okay. What's the question? Which one would I be?
No. Well, which Joker would you be?
I can't. I don't.
I had better ones. What female black cartoon character would you say best describes you? Like there's Susie Carmichael. There's
I already know the one from Princess and the Frog.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, cause she was super hardworking. She was from New Orleans.
Yeah.
Yeah, she messed with a dude who wasn't shit. He did not work, and all she did was work all day.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Okay, good. That works. I'm glad we found a loophole around that. All right, now, this is the fun portion.
Yes,
where I get to ask you a question and you get to decipher how you want, because you have options.
Okay.
Your options are, you get to be one, you gotta be one, you gotta raise one of them, you gotta sell one of them, and you gotta fuck one of them, okay? And your options are, you got a mermaid, you got a mogwai, you got a Mexican, and you got a manatee.
What is a mogwai?
A mogwai is gizmo, and the gremlin.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what are my options?
You gotta be one of them, you gotta raise one of them, you gotta sell one of them, you gotta fuck one of them.
Okay, and what are the people again?
Mermaid, mogwai, Mexican, manatee.
I'm going to just go in the order that you presented them, because my short-term memory is such that I feel like we're going to spend 15 more minutes being like, what are the options to do and who can I do it with? Can you just wait? Can you repeat the 3 words for me? So I'm going to just go in that order right there.
That is amazing. Can you remember the order? Because I always mix.
Okay, I know I'm going to be a mermaid.
Okay.
I'm going to, a magwai is a widget.
Okay, all right. You're gonna be the mermaid. You're gonna raise, sell, and then.
I guess I would. I don't know, God.
You're gonna okay.
I'm
okay.
Gonna sell a manatee.
You can sell it. Definitely sell it.
No, I guess I should sell a mermaid.
You're gonna be the mermaid, though.
No,
you can definitely be the mermaid. You wanna sell a mermaid?
Because that's gonna make me the most money.
Okay, that's good logic. I like how you think. I mean, a mogwai could make you pretty good money as well.
No, I'm going to stick with my first answer and my first logic. Just straight down, straight like a cat. See,
all right, so you're going to be the mermaid. Or you're gonna sell the mermaid. Is that what you're doing?
I'm gonna choose a mermaid for all of them.
You're going to choose?
I'm going to be, sell, fuck,
and raise a mermaid. There you have it, folks. You heard it first. Be sell, raising, and fucking mermaid. Basically, it's a mermaid clan. So we don't worry about anything else. All the other shit is rubbish. We don't explore the ocean like that. Nah, we just gonna stick to our mermaid selves, and that is Marvel Hour.
Right.
I love it. Thank you, Lauren.
Oh, Kyle, I'm so glad we had
it. I finally got it. We got to finally get on here. Where can people find you at?
You can check out my website, Lauren. Classes, past events, you know, I'm on
it. Okay, yeah. That's good. That's awesome. And how long, you still, like, milk is your teaching spot?
Yeah, I should be starting in August. I'll be finishing up grad school. You know, I just stay busy.
I love it.
Just doing it.
I love it.
Yeah.
If those cruises come back, they will let us know.
Sure.
All right, everybody, that's been a tell me a joke. Got out of chasing a dream. I've been your host, and I've been Kyle Smith. I sit over there like a pimple and slip back. I love these mics just because it feels like I have a radio voice.
Hey.
Till next time.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.